Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, unfortunately, today we're going to spend almost the entire show talking about the taking of a human life and human lives in their smallest form. But by the end, we'll end up talking about a life well lived, a life that was allowed to live in the first place, and then a life well lived in service to the King and in service to others. A dear friend of mine, Dr. Danny Lotz, the husband of Ann Graham Lotz, that being Billy Graham's daughter, went home to be with the Lord today, 78 years, and had a huge impact on me personally and on countless men, not only here in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, but around the country. Just a remarkable gladiator for the Lord, God's gladiator, as Ann said herself just earlier. It's just happened a couple hours ago, and it's been a tough week on a number of levels personally. And some really difficult things to absorb and to deal with. And then, of course, now we get Planned Parenthood video number 7, Human Capital episode number 3, breaking earlier today. I've got that up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, or you can just go to our homepage at C2A Today.com and see the links there for Facebook or Twitter or wherever you would like to engage. But that's there. And another one that you really have to watch it. You must subject yourself to it. You have an obligation to the least of these, but of course to the Lord himself first and foremost, to be informed, to face this evil in the face, and then to do your part first and foremost and unceasingly on your knees in prayer. A friend of mine out in Southern California that works with the Harvest Crusade Ministries out there said, prayer isn't the only thing we should do, but we should do nothing without it. And I've always remembered that. I think he shared that with me probably 7 or 8 years ago, and it's stuck with me ever since. And so today I'm going to play through most of this most recent Planned Parenthood video, number 7. And of course, Troy Newman from Operation Rescue, one of the three brave souls, incredibly brave souls, kind of the masterminds behind this. Of course, there are many other people involved in the making of these videos, but primarily three people that are on the board at the Center for Medical Progress. Troy Newman, a great personal friend and a great friend of Call to Action, was on Monday and told us this was coming and told us this was perhaps the most disturbing of them all. And I think because of the content and a couple things that you see, and these aren't videos that they took, just a small little clip, two really short clips not taken in the Planned Parenthood video stings that these guys did, but taken previously. The nature of it and what you're dealing with in this particular video definitely puts it in that, you know, and just when you think it can't get any worse, just when you think it can't get any darker, it does. And when God penned through the mouth of, in the hand of Jeremiah, back in that prophetic book, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, who can know it? In case you ever wondered just how bad it could be, these videos are showing you. And as easy it is to go down the road of being totally enraged and disgusted and even to the point of, for some people, probably violent thoughts, to see a human being that can get this dark, that their heart can be this dead. Troy mentioned that on Monday. These people are just, it's like they're just dead. They're deadened. Their hearts, their conscience completely seared. And there's just a death that's there and made manifest when you watch these videos. So we're going to work our way through this one here. But again, I'll finish up the show today by the end of the show talking about and honoring a dear friend, Dr. Danny Lotz, one of God's gladiators, and the results of a life that's, first of all, lived, and then a life that is well-lived in service to the King and to others. So we'll end up there. So stay with me. And this is hard to go through, but go through it we must. I have a responsibility with this platform that God has given me to continue to project the truth, really I care about the sensitivity of this issue. I care that it's uncomfortable. I'm dragging this out a little bit before I get to the clips, in case you have little ones around and you don't want them to hear it. By all means, get them out of there or listen later. You'll get the podcast later. You can check it out. Things have been so haywire the last couple of days. Podcasts, I haven't put them up yet, but they'll go up tonight. So please be patient with me on that. You know, I don't have a big staff. It's just little old me. So. I'll get that up on the website sometime tonight, c2atoday.com. Just to set up this one, this is Holly O'Donnell, who's been really the person at the center of this particular of the seven videos, Human Capital Episode 3. So that's three of the seven. Holly O'Donnell, who worked for a specimen procurement company, starting it off to take us down this road of what happens on this particular video dealing with infants that are these aborted children born, well, still alive.
I never did, but I think I've witnessed some of the other technicians work with the doctors. I remember I was on my day off and I went on my laptop and popped up and they were working and I saw a message saying that the doctor had aborted a fully intact fetus. Fully intact. And they're SemExpress was sending it straight to the lab.
Okay, so a fully intact fetus, as we've learned, a fully intact child, obviously, a baby. And then later ages of gestation, how far along in the process? 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 17 weeks, 18 weeks, 20 weeks. And now you're getting a 20-week-old baby in the womb, friend, is about the size of a loaf of bread, okay? So what is that, 10 inches long, something like that. And that's what they're talking about. So if you get a full intact specimen, then that's in terms of selling baby parts, I mean, that's like for them, that's a 5-star, as they've said in previous videos, that they're excited about that because that's a great quote unquote specimen. And so that's what's kind of taking us that opening to this video today, which again is up on my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A radio, to go check that out. And which takes us into this next clip, a lady at a convention, she's a procurement manager. So there's actually abortion industry conventions, if you can imagine that. And she's picking up on this topic of these children who are aborted, but fully intact, fully intact.
I literally have had women come in and they'll go in the OR and they're back out in 3 minutes. And I'm going, what's going on? Oh, yeah, the fetus was already in the vaginal canal whenever we put her in syrups, it just fell out.
So that's just, it just fell out. So sometimes they're inducing, right? That there's a drug that they use for a couple of days, 2 days, 3 days, and that causes dilation, and then they get in time, and really, literally, this is going to sound really crass, but I'm going to say it anyway. The only thing keeping the baby inside the canal is the lady's legs are together. They get her up on the Planned Parenthood table. They get her in the stirrups, and literally, the baby falls out. Obviously, a fully intact specimen. The question becomes, is it a baby born alive? Now, this our current president did not agree to sign when he was a senator in the state of Illinois. He would not sign the Baby Born Alive Act, which means the baby comes out in a botched abortion. It's alive. And the act, the law would then say, hello, save the child. But no, he would not sign it. And why? Why do you do that? Because if you save the child, then all of a sudden you're making the case by putting your signature on the line that that's a life. First of all, it's a life. And second of all, it's a life worth saving. In 1 second before it fell out, it wasn't worth saving. So now you're getting down the road where even the most spiritually dead can understand the ramifications of that. And our president, and perhaps you voted for him, would not sign that act. So that's what, the baby just fell out. The next one's Melissa Farrell from a previous one, referring to these babies and the parts that you can harvest from them as line items. Line items.
Yeah, and so if we alter our process, mm-hmm. and we are able to obtain...
Which is, by the way, a federal offense. They cannot alter the abortion process in order to obtain... humans tissue specimens. Okay, you can't do that. You can't alter the abortion in order to harvest organs. But that's exactly what she's talking about.
Intact fetal cadavers. Then we can make it part of the budget that any dissections are this, and splitting the specimens into different shipments is this. I mean, it's all just a matter of line items.
Now, if she were talking about working at perhaps a dog pound, perhaps someplace that PETA would have a problem with, and they're taking care of the dogs and the cats and whatever, euthanizing them, whatever you want to call it, just killing them. And then they're gonna use specimens and do dissections, or maybe it's eighth grade biology, and you're gonna dissect the frog, and you're gonna dissect the chicken, and you're gonna dissect the catfish. No, that's not what we're talking about. A reminder: we're talking about human beings, children, yes, in their earliest form, but children nevertheless. Ear, 10 weeks, toes, fingers, all the organs, beating, blood pumping. Everything. Human being. Okay? Human being. And for somebody like this, for this woman, Director of Research at Planned Parenthood of Gulf Coast, Melissa Farrell, talking about specimens and dissections and line items. And so, Lord, I'm just going to pray right now for Melissa Farrell, the Director of Research for Planned Parenthood of Gulf Coast. I pray, Lord, that she would come face-to-face with her sin. I pray, Lord, that there'd be some Christian that would be able to bravely and courageously and gently and patiently share the gospel with her. I pray for Melissa Farrell right now, Lord, that as all this stuff comes out, she comes face-to-face with the sinful, despicable nature of these choices that she's made, that she would realize her sin, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that she would cry out to you in confession and repentance and throw herself on the mercy of the court, that being you, because we know your mercy is everlasting. And if she means it, she'll be saved and born again. It will be gone. It will be off her record, and she can move forward in health and wellness, Father, to fight for life, as opposed to calling it a line item. Father, we lift her up to you and everybody else involved in this story. This is in Jesus' name. Friends, it's Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. In these dark days, it's important to remember that Jesus is Lord. None of this is catching him by surprise, and he's still in control, and his plan is coming to fruition. Please remember that. One of the things that we can do for our neighbors, for the people in our lives, for coworkers, for people that we come into contact as representatives of Jesus, as a matter of fact, the scriptures call us ambassadors, as if God were pleading through us for the reconciliation of lost people to their maker, to the God of the Bible, that we need to maintain our joy, okay? Joy is not determined by the circumstances. Multiple friends have died in the last 5 days in my life, and it's really difficult and dark, but joy is not removed. It's not diffused. It's not dampened. It's sometimes harder for us to see through the tears, but it's still there. And we need to be able to show people. We don't mourn as those who have no hope. We have to continue to have the joy of the Lord in our lives, knowing that despite the dark days, despite the Planned Parenthood videos, despite the loss of loved ones and friends and people at a young age and people at an old age going home to be with the Lord, despite the challenges there, joy remains. Eternity remains. The kingdom remains. The throne remains. The king remains. The promise remains. And that's where we should have almost a little bit of a lightness to our feet as we go through it. That's a great way to bring glory to the Father and to show a lost and dying world that there is something more out there. And we know, you know what it is. We're talking about the Planned Parenthood video number 7. And this one, Holly O'Donnell is a young woman that worked for one of these specimen procurement places. And she's talking about this. This will take a really dark turn, as if we aren't there already, a really dark turn as we listen to. We're starting to talk about heads and brains, the caviarium, as Nucatella, the senior director of medical services for Planned Parenthood, is. And then we're going to get into some really, the second part of this, you're just going to have to hear it. But this is Holly O'Donnell, who, by the way, I asked Troy Newman. She's really struggling, essentially post-traumatic stress disorder. And so you need to pray for her, too. When you see these videos, pray for everybody you see in these videos, okay? You need to do that. I need to do that. But here's Holly talking about as we kind of move into the issue of brain stems and the brains of these children.
Usually they want both hemispheres intact with the brain stem. which usually doesn't happen. They'll take like an 80% intact or 70% intact. You have to contact them and see if that would be okay.
Okay, so you understand what's going on there. 70% intact, 80% intact. The brain, the stem, if you hear, I can't remember, they have a certain phrase for it, a certain type of tissue. That's the brain and then the spine, okay? And so the more that the baby is intact, the more valuable those are because you're getting a 70 or 80% intact specimen, okay? And that brings us back to a previous video, Nucatella, over her red wine and her Caesar salad, talking about how do you try to make sure that the caviarium, the head of the child, try to get it out intact because it's more valuable that way, right? And this is her over that lunch.
And with the caviarium, in general, some people will actually try to change the presentation so that it's not vertex.
Changing the presentation, that's the way the baby's coming out.
It's a vertex presentation. You never have enough dilation in the beginning unless you have a real huge amount of dilation to deliver an intact caviarium. So if you do it...
Huge dilation to deliver an intact caviarium. Get the head out without crushing it. That's what she's talking about.
Starting from the breech presentation, there's dilation that happens as the case goes on, and often the last you can evacuate the intact caviarium. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are certainly steps that can be taken.
So they can convert to breech, for example,
exactly,
at the start of the...
Exactly. Under ultrasound guidance, they can just change the presentation.
Okay, so she's talking about a not-so-subtle change in the way that they're bringing this child out in the quote-unquote abortion in order to preserve the caviarium, to change the direction. Is it a breech birth? Or how are you doing this in order to preserve the caviarium? Because you got to get maximum dilation so you can get the head out of there. Okay? Why? Because that brain has value. That's why. And so from that, this goes back to... the beginning of the most disturbing story in this whole thing that Holly O'Donnell tells. I'm just going to let it start, and then we're going to hit a break. And then on the other side of it, you're going to get into some really dark details here. This isn't in the video. It's just her sharing this story. But it's remarkably dark, taking you into the bowels of Planned Parenthood to know what is actually happening there. What they call healthcare is butchery of human children.
I was training with Jessica in the Alameda, and I've been doing it for a few weeks, so I kind of knew what I was doing, but kind of not. And I was really busy, and one of the doctors came in, and she looked really frustrated. The medical assistants were with her, and I know it was my deal to listen and see what's going on. And the doctor just says, if she can't calm down, I can't do the abortion, like, and I can't medicate her, something like that. And she was just distraught.
The other thing that plays a tremendous part in this all is the dilation.
Exactly.
That you've obtained.
Exactly.
And also how cooperative the patient is during the procedure.
Finally, the woman, she calmed down, and the doctor...
See, they need the cooperation of the woman. They need to calm her down so that they can control the abortion so that they can collect the most valuable specimen, the human child, for dissection and literally sale, okay? That's what they're discussing.
Doctor went in to perform the abortion. Takes a little while, and I'm in the hallway. I see the jar come out, goes into the path lab, and Jessica, I can hear, is preparing it. Rinsing out the jar, rinsing out the linen, the wrapping that catches it. Dumping it in the strainer.
Catches it. That's the child.
Rinsing it off, putting water in the pie dish, and getting it ready for the doctor.
Okay, so the abortion's done, and they have this intact specimen, basically cleaning it all up and getting it ready for the doctor. For what?
So then I hear her call my name. Hey, Ollie, come over here. I want you to see something kind of cool. This is kind of neat. So I'm over here, and this is the moment I see it. I'm just flabbergasted. This is the most gestated fetus and closest thing to a baby I've seen.
So what she's getting at there, the most gestated fetus, the latest term that she's seen. 18 weeks, 20 weeks, the size of a loaf of bread. That's what she's talking about. What happens next? You have to hear it. And we'll get to that right after the break. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, C2Atoday.com, to get over to the Facebook page to see it for yourself. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Good to be with you as always. The homepage, c2atoday.com. C2AToday.com. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A as in called to action. C2AToday.com. You can jump over to the Facebook page and Twitter, the iTunes feed. If you're an iTunes person, just subscribe there. It's for free, and you get the podcast. Will show up on your iPhone, your iPad, your whatever it is, and you'll be able to hear the show at your convenience, which is we're all kind of going down that road. Even us old timers like myself at 49 years of age. Start to learn podcasting and listen to it when you want to listen to it when you're in the car driving in the morning or at night doing stuff around the house when you're at the gym or out for a walk, whatever. Listen when it's convenient for you today, especially a show like today. And if you have any friends that haven't really engaged the Planned Parenthood issue and they're kind of staying away from it, perhaps one of these shows that we've done on it would be something that you can share with them and let them do it without anybody else in the room, and they can listen and they can contemplate and they can come face to face with the reality of what's happening in these 600 plus Planned Parenthood clinics around the country when it comes to abortion. And in many of them, it would appear this case is becoming really irrefutable that they are harvesting, manipulating and harvesting the parts of these small human babies in their mother's womb and when they come out. And on this particular one, number 7, they're talking about infants that are born, completely intact and possibly even still alive. That's part of what they're getting at here. So this is Holly O'Donnell, the young woman that is brave enough. She's really struggling these days. Troy Newman of Operation Rescue, one of the people behind the Sting videos, told me basically post-traumatic stress disorder. Holly O'Donnell is her name. You'll see her in the video if you jump over to my Facebook page and pray for her. She needs our prayers, and she's been very courageous here to share all of this just terribly, and it indicts her because she was a part of it. I don't know yet. I hope she knows the Lord, because she will be completely forgiven of it all. It'll all be erased off her record, and she can walk in newness of life. But she's talking about what's going on in the clinic when another lady working there at the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic wants her to come see something.
So I'm over here, and this is the moment I see it. I'm just flabbergasted. This is the most gestated fetus and closest thing to a baby I've seen.
Meaning it's far along.
And she's like, okay, I want to show you something. So she has one of her instruments, and she just taps the heart, and it starts beating. And I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this fetus, and its heart is beating. And I don't know what to think.
And that's happening. That's happening regularly, friend, in Planned Parenthood clinics across the country. And the people that are there now, at least praise God, Holly's struggling with it. But other people, like the gal that called her in there, check it out. It's really cool. This is really neat. Tap the chest of this child and boom, the heart starts beating. And people can talk about it over lunch. That's how dark the human heart can get. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for them, knowing they would be doing that. Amazing grace is an amazing understatement.
Is there still circulation in the heart once you isolate it?
They're talking to a doctor on the phone.
So there are signs when after the procedure is done that the heart actually is still beating.
They induce fetal demise at about 18 to 20 weeks.
Catch the sanitized language there. Fetal demise, that's killing the baby. They're going to talk about digoxin. Digoxin kills the child, okay, in the womb. But the result of using digoxin, which is poison basically, is it destroys the child and destroys the quote-unquote specimen. So that's not good. So you can't use digoxin if you want to get the best specimens, because that kills it and poisons everything. So you got to get the baby out of there and preserve the specimen for maximum value. That's where this is going. This is where it's already at.
And so they inject digoxin into the fetus.
Right, right. I was actually going to ask about it because I want to make sure there's no digoxin on my
sample. No.
Providers who use digoxin use it for one of two reasons. There is a group of people who just use it so that they have no risk of violating the federal abortion ban. You induce a demise before you do the procedure. Nobody's going to say you did a live, whatever the federal
government calls it a partial birth abortion. So that late in life, they got to make sure they've got this tension there. They have to make sure, because they don't want to be accused of a partial birth abortion, a late-term abortion, so they got to make sure they kill it in the womb. That's where the digoxin comes in. But when they use it, it ruins the specimen, so there they have their quote-unquote moral quandary. God help them. God help all of us.
Whenever you're talking about fully intact fetuses in the context of fetal tissue procurement, those are situations where no feticide, like digoxin or potassium chloride, no chemical like that can be used to kill the fetus beforehand because that poisons the organs and the tissues.
Yeah.
And so in that case, it's prima facie evidence of born alive infant cases.
It's like, you know why that's happening? And I knew why it was happening.
Now this is Holly back to this story. I'm going to let this one run because you have to hear the rest of her story in this situation with this fully intact child, a result of an abortion.
Because the electrical current was, the nodes were still firing. And I don't know if that constitutes it's technically dead or it's alive. It had a face. It wasn't completely torn up. And its nose was very pronounced. It had eyelids. And its mouth was pronounced. And then since the fetus was so intact, she said, okay, well, this is a really good fetus, and it looks like we can procure a lot from it. We're going to procure a brain. So, the moment I hear something, that means we're going to have to cut the head open. So, it's like, okay, so what you do is you go through the face. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do this. And she takes the scissors, and she makes a small incision right here. And goes, I would say, to maybe a little bit through the mouth. And she's like, okay, can you go the rest of the way? And I'm like, yes. And I didn't want to do this. And so she gave me the scissors and told me that I have to cut down the middle of the face. And I can't even, like, describe, like, what that feels like. And I remember picking it up and finishing going through the rest of the face. And Jessica picking up the brain and putting it in the container with the media.
Okay, if you're just now jumping in, you're listening to a big clip from today's Planned Parenthood Sting video, number 7, Human Capital, episode 3. And what she was just describing, and you couldn't tell because you're not watching the video, you would start at the chin and work your way up, literally cutting the face open and so that you can then get to the brain intact, the brain, the spinal cord, because that's worth a lot. And that's what she's talking about, that she just did that herself with scissors on a small child, the latest gestation period she had seen personally, probably 18, 20 weeks.
And parafilming it, and she left, and she's like, okay, you can clean it up. And I'm just sitting there like, what did I just do? And that was the moment I knew I couldn't work for the company anymore. Even if it's going to be good, if that could have been the cure for some kind of disease, then I wish, even if it was, I wish I still wouldn't have done it. I didn't want to be that person. And I remember picking, it was a male, I remember picking him up with the gloves, because it was too heavy. The pie dish was this, and he was big, like, the pie dish, and I couldn't, like, take it and put it in the strainer and put it in. Like, I couldn't. It was just too big. And I opened the biohazard container, and it's almost full. Like, it's almost full. I'm holding him with my hands, I'm like, oh my god, this is just, what am I doing? And I take him, I put him in, and I remember he got stuck on the lid. And it turned around and his buttocks was in the air and his 2 feet were like dangling out. And I remember having to pick each one of his feet up and put them in the container and close the lid. And that was the hardest experience I've had there. I remember holding that fetus in my hands when everybody else was busy and started crying and opened the lid and put it back in. It's just really hard knowing that you're the only person who's ever going to hold that baby. It's weird because I always think of all these scenarios that could happen. Like, I held it, I'm like, man, this could have grown up to be... And I always think about things like that. Like, if this could be a lawyer, this could be a firefighter, this could be the next president. Like, I wonder what... Because you can tell the sex sometimes. Like, I wonder if this, like, what it would like. Like, I can imagine, like... I wonder at age 3 if, you know, she would like to color. Or things like that, you know? I wonder what it would look like, her mom or her dad, or... things like that, I feel like it's a waste of life. Like, and it's sad that so many people view it as a mistake. You know, because it's not. I mean, life isn't a mistake. I mean, getting pregnant can be an accident, but it's not a mistake.
And I want you to let that sink in, what Holly's talking about there. It's not a mistake. I mean, no life is a mistake. And those that would support Planned Parenthood and support that whole worldview, you know, it's a mistake. Why? Because the circumstances were difficult. Because it was bad timing. Because they were stupid kids. Because they just weren't thinking. They got carried away. And because they're poor. And because the circumstances are going to be difficult. And maybe there won't be a dad there. And maybe this. And maybe that. And it's all about the person that's alive. And it's never about the person that's yet to be brought out into the world. And there's Holly, who is not, I don't know if she's a believer now, but she wasn't a believer at the time. She's not going through this because she's remembering what she learned in Bible school. She's going through this because she's a woman made in the image of God, given a conscience at birth. She's had eternity placed in her heart. Ecclesiastes, God teaches that he places eternity in the hearts of men and women. And she knows inherently that what she's doing is wicked and gruesome and wrong. But then she realizes that there's no in the middle of that, because she had to face it. She never appeared to deal with it before that, friend. She never dealt with it. But all of a sudden, when she's face to face with the nightmare and she's the one doing the cutting and extracting the brain, then the image of God in her that she's tried to suppress, she can no longer suppress it. And it overwhelms her and her conscience. And she knows this is it. This is over. This has to stop for me personally. And then she goes on, is it a firefighter, a doctor, a nurse, the next president, whatever? And then in the case of somebody I want to talk about when we come back, somebody I want to honor, Dr. Danny Lotz, a dear friend of mine at 78, just literally like 3.5 hours ago, went home to be with the Lord. And a life well lived in service to the King and to others, like my friend Danny's life. And every life has that potential. Every life has that value. Every single life. Your life has that. Your children's life has that. Back up. At what point? I asked this the other day. Back up. Take your child, your grandchildren. Back them up. Back them all the way up into the womb. Back them all the way to 14 weeks. At what point do they not have worth? Knowing who they are now. Knowing who they become. Knowing what they mean to you now. At what point when you go backwards in time do they have no worth? There is no point. And that's why we have to stand. That's why we have to fight. That's why we have to keep talking about it. I'll honor my friend Danny when we come back right after this.
Let's try it all together. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, here on Call to Action Radio, great to be with you. As always, spent the majority of our time talking about today's Planned Parenthood video number 7 released. I put that up on Facebook. Please make sure you go look at that. Pray about the people that you see in that. Share it as wide and as far as possible, because we have to keep the heat on until this insidious organization is dismantled, defunded, and prosecuted for their crimes against humanity here in the United States of America, the land of the free and the brave, allegedly. Talked about the destruction of life. I want to finish talking about Well, really, the honoring of a life well lived, and a dear friend of mine, Dr. Danny Lotz. Ann Graham, I was with Ann on Monday talking about some radio stuff. She's, of course, Billy Graham's daughter, and just an incredible woman of God. And we talked about Danny a little bit. It was just a few hours later that she found him in the pool. He loved to sit by the pool and enjoy the sunshine. And he's a big, huge guy. He was on the 1957 championship basketball team at University of North Carolina. So Ann put this on her website, and I put this up on my Facebook page. Danny Lotz was the chief among the kings, mighty warriors. He gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land. That's, of course, from 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Danny and Ann were married for 49 years. At the age of 50, Danny developed a severe case of adult 1 diabetes. For over 10 years following his retirement from dentistry, he fought the ravages of the disease, earning him the beloved nickname, God's Gladiator. I've been with Danny most Friday mornings, probably 90% of my Friday mornings in the last 8 years, at a Friday morning Bible study, a men's Bible study that's been going for about 35 years now, 50, 60, 70 guys, and many of them listening right now. And we would say that he's a gladiator. He's like this big, huge guy with this super soft heart who loved Jesus, and so many difficult trials and physical things over the last several years. And God just keeps bringing him back. And so that's God's gladiator. He lost the sight in one eye and the hearing in one ear. His heart disease required 5 stents in his arteries. His renal failure dictated 3 days of dialysis a week, 5 hours each time. And yet he never complained. He never slowed down. He never gave up. He never stopped investing in the lives of others. And by the way, one of those lives was my own. As a New Yorker, Ann writes, he was plain spoken as a German. He was stubborn. Yes. Yes, he was. As a Christian, he was a compassionate servant leader. He was more than a man's man. He was God's man, who triumphantly finished his race, having fought the good fight and having kept his faith firmly focused on the kingdom of God first. He moved to our Father's house on August 19th, 2015, and received the accolade of his Savior, Lord, and King, who presented him with the crown of righteousness. We salute you, Danny Lotz, and we will never forget you. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. And Graham Lotz wrote that earlier today. And for me personally, you know, here's a guy that knows everybody. He's been everywhere. You know, and when I first started going there, you know, I wasn't a radio guy. I was just a guy, just somebody trying to be a decent father and a decent husband and trying to follow the Lord. And as things got crazier and radio started every Friday, Steve, how you doing? I'm like, you're talking to me? Steve, how you doing? And always encouraging me, keep going, keep going, keep fighting the good fight. Keep going, Steve. God's really gifted you, Steve. Keep using it for the kingdom, Steve. I'm like, this coming from him? Just this big, huge, hulking man. In many ways, kind of a spiritual dad to me. Just because it's just that encouragement, it's a currency we don't trade in much, and Danny Lotz traded in it every day. Yeah, with a bit of a New Yorker and German flavor to it. But he gave decades, his whole life. Literally, he became a Christian as a very small boy, gave his entire life, 78 years, starting at about 5, 73 years. He lived that life that was worth living. He lived a life that was a calling from God and enabled by the Holy Spirit to bring glory to the Father in heaven and to good news to the lost here on earth, and encouragement and help and training and teaching to his brothers and sisters in Christ. It was an incredible life. And all the rewards that I can only begin to imagine that Danny receives at the judgment seat of Christ, that he receives and is cast upon him when he gets to heaven. You know, he turned around already. He's only been gone a few hours here, but face to face with the Father, you know, he turned around already and he cast it all back. Every single one of them, every jewel in his crown, he cast them all back at the feet of Jesus because he's worthy. And all that God did in and through Danny Lotz and through his wife, Ann Graham Lotz, who continues to serve. All of that. And Danny, all those rewards, just gives it all back. It's an inspiring life. It's an important life. It's a life that was lived out. It had the chance. He had the chance to live out that life, that calling from God. And he never wasted any of it. Which takes us back to what we see now with the Planned Parenthood thing. Within those wombs, every single one of them, a million a year at this point, 57 million and counting, every one of them with the same exact potential as Danny Lotz. To glorify God, to lead people to truth, to lead people to the cross, and to invest in people's lives. 57 million potential Danny Lotz or Ann Graham Lotz type people. I'm so excited to see him again and spend all eternity glorifying God and loving on my brother, Dr. Danny Lotz. A life well lived, the glory of God, and the encouragement of others. A true servant leader, a true gladiator for God, and a dear friend. A dear friend. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. God willing, I'll see you tomorrow.